WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host. There we are. Get a little volume on there. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in a wonderful study here. We just got started on Monday here on WGOD. And on our new time slot as well, from 6:30 to 7 a.m. here, and as well as rebroadcast from 5:30 in the evening, 5:30 to 6. No matter when you've tuned in, I thank you for joining us. 30 minutes with the Word of God here today. We're tuning into God's frequency, WGOD. God is always broadcasting, and He has a word for you today if you tune into His frequency. And that's what we're doing here on this program. We're in the book of James. Now I have a quick minute to butt into my own program. Pastor Paul here, actually on vacation this week. Me and Mrs. Esposito are down at the Keys here this week for a couple days. And actually here it's Wednesday. We'll be traveling back here today. Maybe you guys could pray for some safe traveling time for us here today on our way back. So, but it is Wednesday. And there is no Bible study here tonight, and we'll be back again with Bible study next week, and I will be back preaching this coming Sunday, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to start again. That's how long it's been since this is played, the book of James. I'll be starting James verse by verse this upcoming Sunday morning at 10:30. But here tonight, no Bible study, and again, back on Sunday morning, the book of James. So you might hear some older references in here. That's because I've preached this before. Even the intro I recorded back then a couple of years ago. So, but okay, it's Wednesday. We are in chapter 1, so we'll be going through this for probably maybe 2 weeks or so. So, but let's get back into the Word here again now. We're in James chapter 1. Great lesson. I love the way it reads in the NIV. It says, in the old NIV, which is near impossible to do. It is impossible to do on our own and without His help. And that is to consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials. Knowing that, here comes the reason why. Knowing that the testing of our faith develops endurance. So first of all, that means God is the one responsible for everything that happens in your life. Otherwise, He wouldn't tell you to count it all joy if Satan was the one who did it. He'd say, rebuke it, stand up against it, fight it. James says, count it all joy when you encounter or fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops. Are you in God's dark room today? You know what happens if you turn the light on in a dark room, don't you? You ruin everything. So let me encourage you here today on this Wednesday not to turn the light on someone else, in somebody else's dark room. Oswald Chambers calls that person an amateur providence. When you interfere with God's work, God's working on someone, maybe He's brought them down to their very lowest, and now you're going to interfere because you feel bad for them? You're going to interfere and make their life easier for them, and you're going to remove their burden from them when God is the one that's got them there. Because he who has begun a good work in you has begun a good work in them too, not just you. Don't interfere in someone's life when God is working on that person. Don't interfere. Don't turn the light on either in your dark room or in somebody else's dark room. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. Okay, the rest of this message, we'll get back to the rest of my opening here, which is from a couple years ago, and into this sermon here out of James. Now, here in the meantime, we're starting a new program here. We're in James chapter 1, and I've entitled this sermon, which will play here today and tomorrow, Thursday, The Dangers of Sin. Taken from James, who says, sin, when it's finished. I love the way that King James reads that way, finished. Sin, when it's finished with you, bringeth forth death. 33-minute sermon. We're kicking it off today. We'll wrap it up tomorrow. If you'd like a copy of it, you can write to me, paul@wmiefm.com, or go to the daily uploads of this podcast, either at my Facebook page, WGOD Radio, or WGODRadio.com, or the places you'll find it. Let's get into the Word. Have a wonderful day. God bless. Looking forward to seeing you tonight if you're free. Here's part one of the next message in this series, The Danger of Sin. Now, we're continuing our study here in the book of James today. The heading in my New King James, the heading in my Greek New Testament for this portion of Scripture is Loving God Under Trials. But I've entitled this message, The Dangers of Sin. Let's pick it up today. We're in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 12. If you've missed last week's sermon, it's on that red table back there. It's called Introduction to James, where we set the groundwork for this book. James chapter 1, verse 12. I've got the feeling today this sermon is really going to resonate with a lot of people today. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The New King James has approved, while King James has the word tried. That's the key word here this morning. The Greek word is dokimos, translated approved or tried. Last week I gave the example that you are like an automobile in the car dealership and God will try you. He'll take you for a test drive to see what you're made of. Everyone remember that from last week? For those that weren't here, let me let you know a little bit what we talked about. I said every one of us has got what we think is a red line. You know, on your little tachometer, there's a red line where you think that's the point that you can't go beyond. Well, guess what? God's got a different red line for you than what you think it is. And he'll push it and push it and push it way past where you think your red line is. And it's different than your friend's red line. Like he's got the same car as you. You got a different red line than your friend or your husband or your wife. And God will try you. And he'll drive you around the block to see what you're made of. But God already knows what you're made of. But he'll drive you around the block to show you what you're made of. Then take you back to the shop for a tune-up. That's what we looked at again. That's on the sermon there last week if you missed that.
Key word, though, like I said, approved. We're going to follow this word here this morning. And again, that's where we left off last week. Now, the Bible calls you blessed if you endure. It doesn't say blessed is a man who is tried. It says blessed is a man who endures. I love this verse. This is another one I found this morning. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You could add it to your handout if you wanted. It says this. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourself. I've translated this in my Bible, scrutinize yourself as to whether or not you were of the faith. Then it says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates, or you could say, unless you fail the test. Or Paul said, I think in the New King James, unless you are disqualified. But he even tells you here to prove your own self. And blessed is the man who is approved, like Abraham. Now, Genesis chapter 22, verse 11 says this. It says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he says, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And this is what it means to be approved. For now I know, God said. And so it is with you. This is what it means to be approved. Certainly, Abraham was blessed after he was approved. And you, after you have been approved, not before, or tried, if you like that word better, try. I read this great comment the other day about Abraham from the Bible teacher Theodore Epp. He said, Abraham has graduated. This was after what happened here with his son. Abraham had graduated. His days of probation and testing were over. His diploma was inscribed with the words, quote, Abraham, the friend of God and the father of the faithful, unquote. Blessed is the man who endures temptation or testing. For when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. And if you don't love him, none of this will matter anyway. Because you'll never make it this far if you don't love God. You'll never make it this far if you don't love God. Don't kid yourself. Now let me show you another place where this Greek word dokimos is used. Remember, the English word approved or tried, again, in the King James, is where I'm referencing to. If you would please, turn with me, Romans chapter 5. Everybody there? I'm going to read this from my translation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, check out verse 3. And not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces endurance. Think about it. Every time you read that word endurance, remember, think of a boxer or David standing up to someone 9'6". Remember, we've looked so much at what this means and how to get this. Remember, enduring under trials is what produces endurance. Persevering under trials. Again, look at this chain reaction here. We rejoice in tribulation, knowing tribulation produces endurance, and endurance, approved character. I've translated that. The Greek word dokimos. Again, endurance produces approved character. Not just the character, you know, oh, so-and-so is such a character. No, this is the Abraham type of approved character, where God says, now I know about you. This is why he rejoices in trials. Endurance, approved character. Approved character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out, or love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice the progression. We rejoice in tribulation knowing that. Now that's funny. James said the very same thing last week. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that, meaning that God's got a purpose for all of your trials, for everything that you're going through. Again, here it was knowing that the testing of your faith develops or produces patience or endurance. Now here it says, we rejoice in tribulations. Again, let's stop. In church, we can't even get past the first verse here. So why should we go any further? I mean, let's just go home now and call it a day. Who does this? How can we go on? We rejoice in tribulations. I mean, let's just call it a day and leave now. Is there anyone in this church that does that? Two. Better women than I am. I'll scrutinize you later. And Pam, I'll have her in my office Wednesday afternoon. Rejoice in tribulation. You need some work. I need work. I was taught in seminary not to use the word I. I get to use the word you. Don't worry. I get it Monday through Saturday night. Sunday morning is yours. Must I quote John 12:25 again in this church? He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Okay, we haven't mastered this yet, but we're working on it. Let me continue. We rejoice, since we're all in agreement that we all rejoice in tribulations, I guess we can move forward now. We also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces endurance. Endurance produces approved character. An approved character produces hope. That's the end result. Hope. Hope out of all this. The end result out of all this is hope. Here's a few tidbits on hope. Hope is not, I hope my team wins the Super Bowl. Cowboy fans out there, sorry. You can hope all you want. Or I hope I get a raise. Biblical hope is not a hope so, it's a no so. It isn't wishing for the best. It isn't waiting to see what happens and hope that it turns out well. Hope is not a feeling or an emotion. Hope is the knowledge of facts. If someone says to you, I hope you have a good day, there's no guarantee the day will be good. To have a biblical hope is to have a sure anchor of the soul. Not hoping for rain because the forecast says there's a 60% chance of rain, and you hope that you get your garden watered, that is not hope. That is wishful thinking, not hope. It is utterly undependable and has no power to bring anything to pass. Human hope pales in comparison to biblical hope. Now, the Christian's definition of hope is far superior to that of the world. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows their hope is solid, concrete evidence because it's grounded on the Word of God, and we know that God cannot lie. The Christian has a hope that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. It is a hope that is like faith, a faith that cannot be moved by circumstances or what the eyes see, because an unseen God is seen in his faithfulness. An unseen God is seen in his faithfulness. Everyone with me so far? This is the chain reaction that gets developed as a result of two things: trials and God's faithfulness working together with your faith. So let me read this chain one more time before we move back to James. Again, Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces endurance. Endurance, approved character. Approved character, hope. Okay, now we're ready to move back to James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man. Sounds just like the Proverbs, doesn't it? Blessed is the man. Or it sounds like the Sermon on the Mount, too. Maybe he was there for the Sermon on the Mount, scoffing all the way. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because when he is tried or approved, dokimos, when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Now let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Everyone got that? God does not tempt you. God does not tempt you to do anything. God tests you. He doesn't tempt you. God does not tempt you to sin. God tests you to reveal to yourself what you're made of, to show you what your red line is. That's why he does this. God tests you to prove you. And then, like Abraham, once you are approved, you will receive the crown of life. Has anyone here ever been tested? We just heard a testimony this morning. Tested and approved. A little more than a year ago, I guess I had this happen to me, when my wife died in what I consider to be an unseemly manner. And I was tested. Many people in this church have lost their spouse due to death. Maybe you can't relate unless this has happened to you. And you can say, oh, that wouldn't affect my faith. You got to have it happen to you to understand. I read all the time in the newspaper, Tom Jones died peacefully in the arms of his family. What about my wife? That didn't happen to her. There was nothing peaceful about that. And I ran everyone out of there and shut the door and said, we're going to have a talk. And right there was my faith tested, because I could have so easily have walked away from God that day. And you say, that's impossible. Have your spouse die in front of your eyes, and you'll understand it a little more. And I shut the door, and God said to me, it's clear, I'll never forget what he said to me as long as I live. You men have heard me preach it before. Philippians 1:29. To you it's been granted not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. And that was it. My grief, well, it goes on today, obviously. But my wrestling with this lasted 10 minutes. I opened the door, let the people back in, and I was good to go. Everyone's tested at some time in their life. That tested me. I didn't think that was right. That's not the way I've read about it. I hope I passed it. I'm still standing here today, by golly. I say I have passed it. But God is faithful. And he'll test you. He'll give you something in your life. Might be something different. I hope it's not the way I was tested. And I pray as long as I live, that could never happen to me again. I would hope not. Right? Everyone's tested. Abraham goes and takes a knife and holds it over his son. And he says, not so fast, buddy boy. Not so fast.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's modern worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Now, what authenticates the gospel? How can we tell whether or not it is the true gospel? Well, Paul gives us three tests right here. First of all, the source of the gospel. Where did it come from? This gospel is not the invention of man. This gospel is something that God gave. Paul said, this is direct and divine revelation. The gospel is authenticated by its source, secondly, by its salvation. Any gospel that is not the gospel of grace is not the true gospel. How are we saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't beg it, you can't buy it, you can't borrow it, you can't steal it, you can't learn it, you can't earn it. It was bought by Christ on the cross. It is the supernatural work of God. The third test, not only the source test and the salvation test, but the subject test. It is the grace of Christ. He is the subject. Not a gospel that speaks about him or alludes to him, but a gospel that centers in Jesus Christ.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child and weaned is watching.